Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 18th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are in the last two verses of chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The far, far greater glory of the church age. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the age of Israel, there was a glory. However, it was a fading glory, the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. But we're not living in the age of Israel. We live in the dispensation of the church age, a totally unique dispensation in the plan of God. And the church age has a far, far greater glory. And that far, far greater glory is the spiritual life unique to this dispensation, which transforms the church age believer from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, which says in corrected translation, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This is spiritual freedom. And there's two categories. That is positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom as a result of the indwelling and filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. You have the freedom to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. So now the Lord is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the very same image. Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you. Just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Well, that brought us to the fantastic doctrine, something that you absolutely have to understand, the doctrine of freedom. We have studied the first 4 points in the doctrine of freedom, and we just got started on point 5. A little review. Point 1, there are 2 categories of freedom. There is, first of all, human freedom, which may also be called establishment freedom, established in the laws of divine establishment in the Word of God. The second category is spiritual freedom. Point 2, there are 2 categories of spiritual freedom. First of all, positional freedom, in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And then secondly, experiential freedom, which is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is totally unique to the church age, as the base of operations to be filled with the Spirit and then to benefit from the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is the freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. This is the freedom to be transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. And then we studied point 3, the principle of human freedom or establishment freedom. Human freedom is legitimate self-determination. Human freedom is related to privacy, property, life, and authority. Therefore, it emphasizes the need for the laws of divine establishment, which define legitimate authority, designed for the protection of human freedom. Human freedom always demands that the individuals under it have their privacy. This includes, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the privacy of the priesthood. And therefore, the royal family of God, we have a double privacy. Human freedom includes the right to possess, enjoy, benefit, or to make profit from the acquired things of this life. And that is the true concept of prosperity. Human freedom includes authority. Authority under the laws of divine establishment include volition, which is the authority of your soul, marriage, and in marriage, the husband is the authority, 100-0. In family, the parents are the authority, and in government. Authority without freedom is tyranny, and freedom without authority is anarchy. Under the laws of divine establishment, freedom and authority go together. You cannot have one without the other. Both life and property are sacred under the laws of divine establishment. The laws of divine establishment recognizes the sacredness of property, of privacy, and of life as the function of human freedom. The human freedom of a nation is no more effective than the morality, the virtue, integrity, and sense of responsibility of all of its citizens. There are 2 enemies of human freedom. There is an internal enemy to human freedom, and that is criminality. There is also an external enemy of human freedom, and that is other nations. Criminality is the internal enemy to human freedom. One of my brothers lives in Seattle area, and the state of Washington is run by liberal socialists, and there is maximum criminal activity in the state of Washington. Maximum criminal activity. People who have businesses can't even function, can't even have business. And the government is all evil, satanic to the core, and destroying human freedom. Here we are living in the United States of America, and liberals and socialists are destroying human freedom by allowing criminal activity to go all over our nation. Washington, Oregon, California, New York, Chicago, all over this nation, criminal activity. And it's destroying human freedom. We are destroying ourselves. Forget about Russia, China, Iran, Korea, all those. We're destroying ourselves through criminal activity. God has set up laws of divine establishment. That includes law enforcement. That's to protect human freedom. So what do? We want to attack law enforcement. Blame everything on law enforcement. Get rid of law enforcement. Stop funding law enforcement. That's how right is wrong and wrong is right. You don't think we are in a problem? We are degenerate and on the verge of being removed as a client nation to God. Law enforcement. We should be supporting law enforcement 100%. That protects us, our human freedom, from the enemy. The enemy within a nation is criminality. Thank God for the police officer. Thank God for law enforcement. And whatever they're getting paid, it's not enough. These idiots that play professional football, basketball, baseball, take the money from them and give it to the law enforcement people. There, see? And I'm not running for president, but these guys, they put their lives on the line 24/7. They aren't appreciated at all. And any time you get a chance to see a police officer, a law enforcement, or those in the military, but right now the attack back in Vietnam, all the attack was on the military. They were the evil. Now the attack is all on law enforcement. Law enforcement is not evil. They are the protectors of human freedom against criminal activity. Criminality is the internal enemy to human freedom. Law enforcement is the part of establishment designed to protect our human freedom against criminals. Capital punishment is authorized by the Word of God as the greatest control of criminality when properly practiced. Genesis 9, 5 and 6, Matthew 26, 52, Romans 13, 3 and 4, Exodus 21, 12, Numbers 35, 30. On the other hand, our external enemy to human freedom is other nations. Now there are two general categories of nations. There are those that are power-oriented nations and function under some system of tyranny. And there are those nations that are freedom-oriented and function under the laws of divine establishment. There will always be wars and rumors of war. Jesus Christ taught this to us. There will always be hot wars and cold wars until the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the Second Advent and establishes His kingdom on earth. But until that time, human freedom can only be preserved from power-oriented nations by the principle that freedom comes through military victory. And therefore, we ought to have the best military in the world, the best prepared, with the best weaponry to protect our human freedom from power nations that seek to destroy us. Then we studied point four, freedom as a heritage of physical birth. By the sovereign will of God, mankind was created with a volition, a free will as a part of our soul. The most precious attribute in your soul is your volition and the byproduct of self-determination. Because you have a volition, you are free to make decisions. And that's why we are here. We are here to make decisions. Through freedom, we can make right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Or we can make wrong decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you exercise your freedom to make right decisions, you increase your options. However, when you exercise your freedom to make wrong decisions, you will eventually run out of options. Man was created by God to exercise his freedom and make decisions. By divine design, free will in mankind is a characteristic which man has in common with angelic creation. And therefore, freedom is an extension of the angelic conflict in human history. Man was created to resolve the angelic conflict. And therefore, freedom and self-determination, functioning on a non-meritorious basis, faith, determines the outcome of the angelic conflict. That brought us to point five. And we had just got started in point five. Point five, spiritual freedom. And under point five, subpoint one, there are two categories again of spiritual freedom. Positional freedom, which is union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. And secondly, experiential freedom, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:1 combines both categories. For freedom, for the advantage of experiential freedom, Christ caused us to be set free, positional freedom. Therefore, stand firm and stop being held in again or subjected again to the yoke of slavery, Satan's cosmic system. So in Galatians 5:1, we have both categories of spiritual freedom, both positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Subpoint two, we were just starting to take a look at positional freedom. And we've studied the first four subpoints of positional freedom. Subpoint one, positional freedom starts at the cross. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. John 8, verses 34 to 36. Two, at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Point three, positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. Very important. God, in his infinite and matchless grace, has done what man can never do. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. And the great passage there, Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 28. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Verse 26, you are all sons of God. Now, the word there is huios, very important, H-U-I-O-S, adult sons. Adult sons of God. Adoption. This is the doctrine of adoption. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted as a huios, an adult son of God, with equal privileges and equal opportunities. Equal privilege and equal opportunity to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. All of you. All of you. I don't care what, I don't care if you flunked out of kindergarten. I did. I hated kindergarten. And all I did was cry, and the teacher called my mom and said, come and get this boy, all he's doing is getting everybody upset. Then she took me out and set me on the curb. I sat on the curb watching the cars go by, and mom came by and picked me up. I flunked kindergarten. I never went back. I don't care what your human IQ is. By the grace, it's all by the grace and power of God. It's your spiritual IQ. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God so you can be filled with the Spirit. And through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, every one of you in here can learn the deepest truths of the Word of God. Advance to spiritual maturity. Glorify God to the max. And you all have equal privilege and equal opportunity to be winner believers. You all have equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. All of you. There's nothing to keep any of you except your own bad decisions, your own arrogance, your own negative volition. But you are all huioi, huios, adult sons adopted into the royal family of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, union with Jesus Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ, and therefore there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Equality. Perfect equality in union with Christ. Freedom and equality, whether you're Jew or Gentile. Freedom, equal privilege, equal opportunity to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. Slave or free, perfect equality, whether you're slave or free. You have equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. Male or female, equal privilege and equal opportunity, whether you're male or female, to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, in union with Jesus Christ. Positional freedom. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. God in His infinite and matchless grace has done what man can never do. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Subpoint 4, in union with Christ, positional freedom, every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Every one of you. In union with Christ, positional freedom, every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. All right, now we start and continue at point five. At the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are all adopted as adult sons of God. Huios is the Greek word. At the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are all adopted as adult sons of God, huios, and entered into union with Christ, where there is positional freedom and equality. That's Galatians 3:26 to 28. Now, in the ancient world, to be adopted as an adult son meant you now have the rights and the privileges and the freedoms of an adult. That was in the ancient world. In the church age, in Christianity, adoption as an adult son means to have the rights and the privileges and the freedoms of being royal family of God, having been freed from spiritual death, having been freed from the old sin nature as the ruler of human life, having been freed from Satan as the ruler of this world. Positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ. Subpoint 6. Therefore, positional freedom is related to the doctrine of adoption and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, entering us into union with Jesus Christ, where there is true equality. Equal privilege, equal opportunity to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. So therefore, positional freedom is related to the doctrine of adoption and the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, entering us into union with Christ, where there is true equality. We now, as adoption, as adult sons, have the rights, the privileges, the freedoms of being the royal family of God, freed from spiritual death, freed from the sin nature as the ruler of human life, freed from Satan as the ruler of this world. 7. Positional freedom is also related to the doctrine of redemption. The word redemption in the scriptures refers to purchase from the slave market of sin. Purchase from the slave market of sin. So, positional freedom is also related to the doctrine of redemption. 8. Redemption is the salvation work of Christ on the cross, where he purchased our freedom. He purchased our freedom from the slave market of sin and delivers us from the curse of the law. Redemption is the salvation work of Christ on the cross, where he purchased our freedom from the slave market of sin. That's what redemption means, to purchase our freedom from the slave market. So redemption is the salvation of Christ on the cross, where he purchased our freedom from the slave market of sin and delivers us from the curse of the law. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased from the slave market of sin with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed, purchased from the slave market of sin with the precious blood, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And then turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us, purchased us from the slave market of sin, that is, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He became a curse for us. That's huper plus the genitive, as a substitute for us, his substitutionary spiritual death on the cross. Nine, through retroactive positional truth, that's identification with Christ in his death and burial. At the moment you believe in Christ, you are identified with Christ in his death and burial. That's retroactive positional truth. And current positional truth, you are identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, all of this through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the believer has positional freedom from the power of the sin nature. Through retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father through the baptism of the Spirit, the believer now has positional freedom from the power of the sin nature. Now we're getting there in Romans. Turn over to Romans. We'll get there. Romans 6. Now I don't know when the rapture is, but apart from the rapture, we are going to get to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 5, if we have been united with him, Jesus Christ, like this in his death, that is, identified with Christ in his death, retroactive positional truth, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection, current positional truth. Verse 6, for we know that our old man, the old sin nature, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be made powerless. We're no longer a slave to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. That we should no longer be slaves, and again it's hamartia in the singular, which is used for the sin nature, that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. Because anyone who has died, identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, has been freed from, again, sin in the singular, the sin nature. So this is a great, great passage. Looking forward to getting there, Romans 6, 5 and 6. We'll be there, not next Sunday, but soon. Well, maybe after we celebrate next year, New Year. I don't know. So again, point nine, through retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, the believer now has positional freedom from the power of the sin nature, Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. We no longer are a slave to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. Now you have freedom positionally. Why? So that you can have experiential freedom to live the spiritual life, to live, have God the Holy Spirit control your soul, not the old sin nature controlling your soul. And there's a war going on in all of us. There's a war going on. Who's going to control your soul? Either the sin nature which is in your body. And why does the Holy Spirit indwell the body? Because the sin nature's in the body. So now we got God the Holy Spirit in there, sin nature in there. And now the question is, who are you going to have control your soul? You don't have to have the sin nature. He's powerless as a result of retroactive and current positional truth. He's powerless. The only way he can take control of your soul is by you using your free will to sin. To make a bad decision to sin and give him control of your soul. In other words, you have authority. What's the authority of your soul? Volition. Volition. You can't give the power to the sin nature unless you use your own free will to sin. You're going to have temptations, but temptations are not sin. You're going to get temptations from the sin nature all the time. And they'll come up, but you got a guardian of your soul, your volition. All you have to do is say no. That's it. It's real simple. No. Oh, you're going to have lots of temptations. Big deal. You just say no. And he will not take control of your soul. But when you use your volition and say yes, well, then the sin nature, you put yourself back into slavery. You don't have to. You've been freed from slavery. You have positional freedom in union with Christ so that you can have experiential freedom and live your life by the power of the Spirit of God. The spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. You decide, is it going to be the sin nature by your bad decisions to sin, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit? So, through retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, in union with Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit, the believer has positional freedom. Positional freedom from the power of the sin nature. Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. 10. Positional freedom in union with Christ is eternal. It can never be lost. Positional freedom in union with Christ is eternal. It can never be lost. 11. Positional freedom is the only category of freedom that is not maintained by your free will decision. Positional freedom is the only category of freedom that is not maintained by your free will decisions. This is in contrast to human freedom, which is maintained by adhering to the laws of divine establishment. This is in contrast to experiential freedom, which is maintained by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So again, point 11, positional freedom is the only category of freedom that is not maintained by your free will decisions. Now that brings us to sub-point 3 under spiritual freedom, and that is experiential freedom. Experiential freedom. One, experiential freedom also starts at the cross. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. At that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you're not only entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and have positional freedom, but at the very same time, you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. So experiential freedom also starts at the cross, salvation by faith in Christ. Two, at the moment of salvation, every believer is both indwelt and filled with the Spirit. At that moment of salvation, every church age believer, unique, we are in the unique dispensation. We're in the dispensation of far, far greater glory. But at the moment of salvation, every believer is both indwelt and filled with the Spirit. Now, we never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, but we do lose the filling of the Spirit every time we sin after salvation. But you have a free will. This is resolved by using that free will to make a good decision. Rebound. Acknowledge your sin to God, 1 John 1:9. Subpoint 3. The filling of the Spirit provides the experiential freedom and the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. This is the only dispensation in human history where there is every believer has this unique spiritual life, the royal family of God, the spiritual life. Jesus Christ was the very first person in his true humanity who had this unique spiritual life, and it sustained his humanity, and so that he went to the cross impeccable, sinless perfection, and then carried out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, which is Operation Grace, and made salvation possible for the human race. So the filling of the Spirit provides the experiential freedom and the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. 4. Whereas the key to positional freedom is the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, whereas the key to positional freedom is the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, the key to experiential freedom is the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the spiritual life. So whereas the key to positional freedom is the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, the key to experiential freedom is the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. 5. The Lord Jesus Christ set us free positionally in order that we might function in spiritual freedom experientially. The Lord Jesus Christ set us free positionally in order that we might function in spiritual freedom experientially. Six, positional freedom in union with Christ is the basis of our experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the basis of our experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. That's Galatians 5 verse 1. For freedom, for the advantage of experiential freedom, Christ caused us to be set free. Positional freedom. Therefore, stand firm in that experiential freedom. Stop being subjected again to a yoke of slavery. Don't put yourself back under slavery to Satan's cosmic system. Galatians 5 verse 1, subpoint 7. The central passage for experiential freedom is our passage in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, combined with Galatians 5 verse 1. Again, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. But we all, royal family of God of the church age, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So, subpoint 7, the central passage for experiential freedom is 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 combined with Galatians 5, verse 1. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the filling of the Spirit, there is experiential freedom to live the spiritual life. When you are filled with the Spirit, you have the experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it's not our reflection we see, but the mirror of the Word produces the reflection of Jesus Christ. And Galatians 4:19, being transformed into the same image, refers to my little children, I am sweating you out until Christ is formed in you. Christ being formed in you is the key to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Subpoint 8. The filling of the Spirit plus the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit gives you the experiential freedom to make right decisions. The filling of the Spirit plus the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit gives you the experiential freedom to make right decisions, good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Nine, however, no filling of the Spirit and no teaching ministry of the Spirit means no freedom to make right decisions. You see, when you make bad decisions to sin and get into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, the Bible says you are grieving the Holy Spirit and you are quenching the Holy Spirit, but you are not filled with the Spirit. You're not empowered by the Spirit. Subpoint 10. Consequently, you give up your experiential freedom to go back into slavery. Consequently, you give up your experiential freedom to go back into slavery. You can't make good decisions while living in Satan's cosmic system, except the decision to rebound, which puts you back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into your spiritual life. 11. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system, and therefore there is no experiential freedom. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system, and therefore there is no experiential freedom. All that you have in Satan's cosmic system is slavery. You've enslaved yourself back into slavery to the old sin nature, and you have put yourself back into slavery to Satan in his cosmic system. 12. Experiential freedom is a virtue, and all virtue resides in the spiritual life. Experiential freedom is a virtue, and all virtue resides in the spiritual life. So point 5, with spiritual freedom, we studied the two categories, both positional freedom and experiential freedom. Now that brings us to point 6. The spiritual function of freedom. The spiritual function of freedom. Point 6. You have a free will. You have a volition. It's the authority for your soul. Positive volition can function in 3 ways under God's plan of grace. First of all, in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So positive volition can function in 3 ways under God's plan of grace. First of all, at salvation, by faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, in rebound, by acknowledgement of sin, where the justice of God is free to forgive us and enter us back into fellowship with Him back into the filling of the Spirit, back into our spiritual life. And third, positive volition to the teaching of the Word of God, in order that we may grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. So that is the spiritual function of freedom. Positive volition can function in three ways under God's plan of grace. Now that brings us to point 7 in the doctrine of freedom, the relationship of freedom to responsibility. The relationship of freedom to responsibility. The principle is point 1. Freedom demands responsibility. The principle is freedom demands responsibility. We are free, but we are not irresponsibly free. Subpoint 2. All people have a responsibility to obey the laws of establishment. All people have a responsibility to obey the laws of establishment, believer and unbeliever alike. 3, morality is the human safeguard for freedom. Morality is the human safeguard for freedom. Moral responsibility demands waiting for one's right partner in life. It includes good manners. It includes paying your taxes. It includes having honoring and respecting the military and law enforcement. It includes obeying the law. Four, good manners are a sign of knowing and understanding the principle of freedom. A self-disciplined man is always a gentleman. A self-disciplined man is always a gentleman. And a gentleman is someone who recognizes that others have freedom as well. The relationship of freedom to responsibility. Freedom demands responsibility. That brings us to point 8. The relationship of freedom to maturity. The relationship of freedom to maturity. First of all, the adult individual must be free to make his own decisions, whether they are right or wrong. The adult individual must be free to make his own decisions, whether they are right or wrong. Two, therefore, he must take the responsibility for all of his decisions. For the right ones, but not just the right ones, but take the responsibility for his wrong ones as well. That's part of growing up. He must take the responsibility for all of his decisions, the right ones and the wrong ones. Subpoint 3, a person is not mature until he is able to take the responsibility for his own decisions. A person is not mature until he is able to take the responsibility for his own decisions, good and bad, right and wrong. And parents must realize that there comes a time in their child's life when he becomes an adult And he must make his own choices, good or bad. And if they're bad, there will be consequences. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, if they don't turn around, dying discipline. And if they're good, why, he will increase his options. And God will pour out. You see, God wants to pour out greater grace blessings on all of us. In the short time while we are here, he wants to give you greater grace blessings. In time, right in the middle of the devil's world, and piss Satan off. He wants to do that. And he taps, the Bible says he's just tapping his foot, waiting for you to wake up. Wake up. Start making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Start making those good decisions to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's already got set aside for you greater grace blessings with your name on it, just for you. For every one of us, he has greater grace blessings set aside, just designed for you. And those greater grace blessings, some of them are the spiritual blessings, are the same for all of us. Some of the other blessings, why, that's unique to you. He created you. He knows you. He knows what's perfect for you. And those greater grace blessings, that he has set up for me are not necessarily ones he set up for you. But he has them there. You make those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Why, every day will be Christmas and every day will be Thanksgiving. Every day. Now the one thing you don't want every day to be your birthday. You don't want that. But every day is Christmas. Every day is Thanksgiving. So parents must realize there comes a time in their child's life when he becomes an adult and he must make his own choices, good or bad. All right. Now we're about halfway through the Doctrine of Freedom. And a lot of very great principles and truths. And we'll pick that up again next time with point 9 next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.